So yeah, I hope you don't worry about cats as much as she does. But we all worry about things. It is quite normal to speak to your parents, your friends, about what you're worried about, what you're concerned by, what you're stressed out with. Just for a couple of minutes, just in the rows where you are, if you could just turn to the person next to you and think up some answers to this question. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? Great, thank you. Hopefully that just got the juices flowing in your minds about things you worry about. Now, some of the things you said might have been from this list. So exams, friendships, relationships, parents, we all worry about parents. What to wear, sports results, bullying, peer pressure, money, the next career steps for those of you who may be older, non-Christian friends, family being unwell, world disasters, people's opinions, what to eat or drink, and your phone breaking. Well, something you might hear from people today is that the Bible is outdated, irrelevant, and old-fashioned. But tonight's topic is the first of a series of talks we're doing this term, which are going to look at how the Bible deals with real-life problems, how it can help us, even today. And while society might have changed over the last 2,000 years, people haven't. The people who read this for the first time worried about stuff, like you and me. So, let's open up Matthew chapter 6, and that's found on your Bibles on page 971. 971. That was quicker than... Ah, it's because you saw it on the first slide, wasn't it? You knew, well done. So, page 971. Before we read the passage, I'll just give you a bit of context. This part of Matthew's Gospel is an account of Jesus doing a set of preaching and what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is included in chapters 5, 6 and 7. It forms a series of mini-sermons where Jesus is teaching about how we can react to these real-world issues. And it's how we can react in a godly way to stand out as something different to what the world has to offer and to react in a unique way to trust in God that he will help us in our struggles. So here, Jesus is teaching a set of principles. So do have a little look at them as we go through and try and pick out those principles. So we're going to start at verse 25 of chapter 6. So verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, in contrast with the materialistic worries which occupy our minds most of the time, Jesus calls those who follow him to put God first, both by trusting our Heavenly Father to meet our material needs and by giving priority to eternal issues. So the two principles Jesus is teaching here: put God first by trusting him to provide for our material needs, and put God first by giving priority to eternal issues. And we're just going to spend a few minutes unpacking each of these. So, first point, the opening part of verse 25 of this passage says this: therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Why is Jesus telling us not to worry? Jesus uses these two examples of the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields to show us God's care for the living things he created. He provides food for the birds, and he gives the flowers beautiful petals which clothe them. But let's look at verse 26 and read that again. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And now if we look again at verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and gone tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Can you see from these verses that God cares about your needs? He cares about the food for the birds, the flowers, and clothing them. But how much more valuable are you to God than they are? We know from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, that humans were created in God's image. We are the only beings he created to live in an active relationship with him. And how much more, then, does God care about you? He has your needs at the front of his mind. And what's more, he delights when we come to him and ask for help. We can pray, and God listens and answers. The line is never engaged. Now, there are a few bits to clear up here. Nowhere in these verses does it say that God will provide me with a supercar or a lovely holiday. It says that God will take care of my material needs, not my material wants. Can you ever think of a time in your life, just think back, where God has not provided you for something to eat? Not even if it's just beans on toast. Or if you can think of the last time God didn't put a roof over your head, even if it was just a canvas tent. Or the last time you went to your wardrobe and there was nothing there. Not even that top you only wear when everything else is in the wash. Second thing it's important for us to see is Jesus specifically forbids worry. He's not allowing us to give up all responsibility. So God provides food for the birds, but they still have to search for it. It means we can't just sit back and expect things to fall into our laps. So Jesus is teaching here that we can trust God to provide for our material needs. He knows what we want even before we know, because he made us. And as we know that God wants relationship with us, it means we can ask him for help through prayer. So that's our first principle. The second one is Jesus' teaching that we should give priority to eternal issues. And you might be thinking, what on earth does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the way Jesus describes it is in verses 32 and 33. So we're going to recap on those two. For the pagans run after all these things, this is verse 32, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, the word pagans here is used to describe people who are of this world and not of God. And we know these people in today's world. In fact, before anyone knows God personally through Jesus, you are one of these people. I was once one of these people. These are people who chase after the most technologically advanced gadgets and phones and laptops and whatever. Or they base the content of their wardrobe, all their tops and trousers, on the latest fashion. Or they choose a career path only because it's going to make them rich. These are people who put their things in hope that won't last. The latest gadgets become out of date, fashion quickly moves on, and careers come to an end. And worrying about something is a way that we try and control the situations that we find ourselves in. And when we realise we can't control all the circumstances, we worry more. So we enter into this vicious cycle. See if you recognise this. The more we realise we can't control the situation, the more we worry. And the more we realise there are even more things we can't control. So we worry more. And it quickly becomes this, as you can see. I guess the question to ask here is, what is the heart attitude behind worry? What's going on in here? Are we trying to control our whole lives? Are we trying to play God? So why listen to Jesus? Why is this important? The reason that we should is because worrying about things on this earth will not get us into heaven. I'm just going to say that again. Worrying about things on this earth will not get us into heaven. And whether we like it or not, we cannot control what happens on this earth in our lives. And worrying about things won't mean we find satisfaction in our lives either, as the things we tend to worry about don't last forever. So what is the alternative of worrying about all these earthly things? The answer? Faith and trust in a God who controls everything. The writer C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Narnia books, puts it like this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. So aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Instead of worrying about what earth can offer you, why not focus on the importance of your eternal life? Let's look at verse 33 again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is telling us that we should seek first his, that's God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things, that is your material needs, will be given to you as well. So now we've learned a bit about the principles that Jesus is teaching about coping with worry. We're going to think about what that looks like in practice. Let's work through the principles, looking at something which you may have come up in your groups, worrying about exams. I'm going to put you in a scenario you might well be familiar with, and looking back in my life, I can certainly recognise when I was revising for my AS levels at college, I got into this a little bit, so see if you recognise this. So, you're worried about an exam. You spend time worrying when you could be revising. When you do revision, you realise how much more revision you need to do, so you worry more, and spend more time worrying that you could be revising. See where we're going with this. The night before the exam, you can't sleep because you're so worried, and then you get up and then for the exam, you're absolutely trashed, and you can't bring to mind all those things you revised. But by putting into practice some of the things that Jesus taught, some of those principles we've just looked at, what can our attitude be towards this situation now?
Well, firstly,
we know that God knows our needs. He cares for us and wants a relationship with us. He knows we're taking an exam. He knows everything. And he can help us with that. But have we asked him for our help?
Second one,
God's in control. He knows whether you need to pass that exam this time or not. He's got a plan for you. Do you trust him? Or are you trying to control the situation? Are you trying to play God? This one. You need to revise. It may go against what you believe, but you need to revise. God provides, but we have a responsibility. Just remember that. God has given you all the things you need to pass this exam. He's given you teachers, revision notes, textbooks, past papers, time in the evenings and at weekends when you could be studying. But are you taking responsibility for your actions as well?
And the fourth one,
passing exams doesn't get you into heaven. I was expecting a little cheer there, but never mind. Revision and exams are an earthly issue. Time revising is important, but the time you were previously spent worrying about things can now be spent reading your Bible and praying. Have you considered any of these eternal issues? So, we're now going to get into groups and think about what we've just heard, and how to apply it to other situations that you discussed, maybe, or that came up on the list at the beginning. So think back to those,
and this is how we're going to split groups. So the 21 boys, the younger boys, are going to room 1, which is the room next door here. 21 girls, rooms 2 and 3 is this whole area here. And 42 boys and girls are in the main hall. I thought it'd be good to let the boys rough it on the beanbags, and the girls can have the comfy sofas.
Okay. Please take your Bibles with you. You'll need them. Okay.